Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
One of our top news headlines from overnight was a big announcement from Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim announcing during his virtual town hall yesterday that Fairchild Wheeler Golf Course is set to open tomorrow morning. Two courses, the driving range, all available. Tee times at 15-minute intervals. You cannot make a tee time when you just show up. You have to be able to do it over the phone or online. You're probably not going to do in-person signups for quite some time. Carts only allowing one rider at a time, and players have to wear masks if they're in the building or talking to the starter. Of course, we were so excited to hear about this. Personally, my father has been biting at the bit to be able to go back to the wheel, and so many of you have called in asking about this. So we're excited to have Steve Roach on the line. He is the golf pro at Fairchild Wheeler and a very good friend of ours. Steve, thank you for being here this morning. How are you?
I'm great. It's my pleasure to be here.
Steve, what do people need to know before showing up tomorrow at your golf club?
Just absolute safety first. Okay, so we're going with a park, pay, play, leave policy. So we want people getting here no more than 15 minutes before their tee time and leaving 5 minutes after they're done playing. And then just being as smart as they can. So when they come into the building, we ask that they wear a mask. We ask that one person pay for the entire foursome and just maintain the 6-foot social distance.
And this probably seems silly to ask, Steve, but the clubhouse is going to be closed. You guys aren't serving food or anything, right?
No, I'm not sure what Vozzy's plan is, but the golf shop will be open. So you can come into the golf shop. We have the window partitions up on the counter here, so even the employee behind the counter will be safe.
Steve, what has it been like since being shut down in mid-March? It was kind of eerie to call the main line yesterday to try and get in touch with you and hear your voice and say, it is, you know, Monday, March 16th, and we're shut down until further notice. And I thought, oh my gosh, it's been that long, almost 2 months. What has it been like for you guys?
It's been very difficult here. You know, Mayor Ganim had to make a very difficult decision, but I think in the long run, it was the best for everyone's safety.
Speaking for a moment here to Steve Roach, a golf pro, at Fairfield Wheeler Golf Course in Bridgeport. They open up tomorrow, actually. The wheel is a public course, and that, of course, is very popular. Do you anticipate being booked solid for the next few weekends?
I think we're going to be booked solid for the next few weekends, but the big question will be the golf carts. This is my first go around at doing single carts. So unfortunately there's going to be some people that we simply can't accommodate them with a cart. So we ask that the public just keep that in mind when booking tee times, that the cart availability is based on the tee time and if it's available.
Yeah, I have to be honest, Steve. I was kind of surprised about the carts, only because I know some of the Fairfield golf courses, they completely nixed carts altogether. Why even offer them at all?
Well, I know Trumbull had tried to do that. They were going to do walking only, and a lot of people had petitioned for golf carts. And I think it's important because there are some people that simply cannot walk all 18 holes or even 9 holes. And, you know, they need a cart to get around. Some, unfortunately, even need a handicap flag to get closer to the green. So it's a very necessary thing. We ask that people try to walk, but we understand that it is a necessary thing for many golfers.
And what's the protocol with the carts? I mean, at the end of it, I would imagine you disinfect like crazy.
Correct. As soon as the cart comes, well, for now, right now, all the carts have been disinfected. But as soon as they come in, we have a bucket of water and bleach, and we're going to scrub down the entire cart and then turn it around and bring it right up the hill.
Wow. What is the course looking like right now since it's been, I don't want to say abandoned, but it was kind of, you know, you guys haven't really been there and up and running. And usually the spring, I mean, people are there like crazy. I know whenever we show up there, it's super busy starting in the spring for you guys. How are the courses looking?
Actually, this time of the year, the golf courses always look great. Our golf course superintendent, Sam Cotty, and his staff have been working very hard 7 days a week just to try to keep it in the shape that it is in. And it does look like it's in great shape this time.
And what's the cap, Steve? I know, obviously, people have to make their tee times online or over the phone, but how many people do you guys say, on average, how many people you think you're going to be seeing in comparison to what you typically would during this time of the year?
On the weekends, typically, we can do anywhere from 250 to 375 rounds easily. Sometimes we'll go over 400, but I have a feeling for the next month, I don't think we'll do more than 200 players on a weekend just because of the limited availability of the golf carts.
And Steve, what about food and drinks and all of that? Are you going to hold off on that for a little while, or is there a protocol for that too?
That is up to Vazzi's restaurant. They own the concession here. And I have a feeling that their snack bar will be open, that people might be able to come in real quick and grab something and then leave.
All right. Okay. Yeah, well, we're very excited, Steve. I know that obviously it's going to be a very slow go kind of start to just get going, but it's at least it's something, and it gives us a little bit of sports, gets you outside, and certainly a lot of people very excited about this. Thank you so much for joining us this morning and giving us more details. We're excited.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for the call, and I did talk to your dad this morning. So,
oh, did you? Did he already book a tea time?
Yes.
Oh, well, there you go. My father, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, Steve. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
We are joined by Alexis Harrison, co-organizer behind Social Distance Food Drive, happening in Fairfield. And Alexis, it's a pleasure to have you here this morning. How you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. Correct us if we're wrong. You're going on your 10th week with this this weekend.
Yeah, hard to believe.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, a result of our wonderful community. I mean, people come out each week and they just donate food, money, cash, gift cards and whatnot, because people are really coming together and rallying behind, you know, our most vulnerable citizens who need our help right now.
So it sounds like you're doing really well with it. How much have you raised?
Gosh, over, I think, $7,000 right now. And it's hard to quantify how much food we get because we don't actually weigh it. But it's been, you know, each week about 100 cars or more on average come to our social distancing food drives. People just pull up. We unload. You know, we wear gloves. We wear masks. And we're very cognizant of, you know, the social distancing procedures and protocols right now. So, you know, our priority is to keep everybody safe. And our second priority is to collect food and to help our vulnerable citizens right now.
I was going to say, who's getting this food, Alexis?
Yeah, so we've been partnering with Operation Hope of Fairfield as well as the Bridgeport Rescue Mission. So those are our two main partners right now.
Love that. That's great. And when you hear, you know, food drives, usually you would kind of associate that with a lot of people gathering, one place, things like that. But then you hear social distancing food drives. For people who aren't familiar, explain how you're able to do a social distance food drive. I love that concept.
Sure. So we're lucky enough to have access to the parking lot at Operation Hope. And we have basically lanes denoted so people pull up and they either pop their trunk and we open it and we unload it and we place the items in a cart. And we try to keep volunteers to a minimum. Again, you know, to your point, we don't want large crowds there. We just, you know, we want to keep it really safe. So people just drive in, kind of like a, you know, like a just a basic, you know, curbside delivery, if you will, that's going on with restaurants.
And I would imagine this is non-perishable food items?
Yeah, non-perishables, you know, cereal, cleaning products, you know, hygienic items. And, you know, Operation Hope is in really need of cash donations right now. You know, they also need to keep the lights on. You know, like many nonprofits, they're not, you know, actively fundraising right now because of the COVID, you know, 19 pandemic. So cash donations are also appreciated. And they can also go to, you know, they can also go to the pantry buying fresh produce and meats and things like that, things that we can't, you know, provide. So it's twofold right there.
Yeah, Alexis.
You know, we just believe no one should go hungry during this time. You know, there are school closures, you know, new financial realities that we're all facing, health risks. And, you know, millions of people right now across the country are, you know, turning to food pantries. Many of them never did that before. So the demand is high, and we just need to, you know, keep replenishing these food pantries because they do so much work.
You're absolutely right. And it's funny that you mentioned that because my question was going to be, you know, why do this? I mean, understandably so, it makes complete sense. You know, you just gave the the straight facts of what we're dealing with right now in today's world. But I have to be honest, Alexis, a lot of people are just nervous to even walk out their front door to go get the paper at the bottom of their driveway. You decided to team up with two other people and put together this food drive that happens every week, and you've been exposed to so many people. And in a way, I think you guys are kind of fearless for taking this on. So I guess my question is, you know, why? Why put yourselves at risk to be able to collect food and non-perishables and be able to collect donations every week? Why do it?
You know, as local citizens, you know, we just, you know, my two co-organizers, you know, we just feel we have a social responsibility to support places like Operation Hope. You know, they're kind of the better angels among us. They provide, you know, real hope, nourishment, and support to so many people in Fairfield. And, you know, I'm a healthy person. So are my two co-organizers. And we feel that we have this, you know, obligation to an opportunity to help others right now. And, you know, the community has responded tremendously. In fact, on Sunday, we're going to be having the chief of police of Fairfield, the fire chief there, and a few other notable leaders who have been supporting us in the background, just to be there and just to show the support to the community for their help.
All right. We're talking with Alexis Harrison, co-organizer behind a social distance food drive happening in Fairfield. Where can people drop off? Where exactly is your site?
Sure. It is 636 Old Post Road in Fairfield, right across from Town Hall. In the big landmark would be the First Church Congregational, but it's right in the downtown area. 636 Old Post Road in Fairfield.
All right.
And if people want to reach out to me, my number is 203-556-2546. I'm always happy to pick up things from people. That's happened before.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Now, how long do you plan on doing this? I would imagine as long as you can.
Yeah, as long as we can, as long as the need is there. We've been fortunate to have really great partners with First Church, Operation Hope, and the Bridgeport Rescue Mission, and we'll just continue as long as we can.
All right, sounds good. Is there a website that folks can go to?
No website. We do have a Facebook page.
Okay.
It is Neighbors Helping Neighbors, Fairfield and Southport. Again, it's Neighbors Helping Neighbors, Fairfield and Southport. And people can reach me as well on the phone, 203-556-2546.
Alexis, it's a nice thing that you and your friends are doing for other people. And, you know, we applaud you. We give you a lot of credit. And you know, one thing that you did say that really hits home, a lot of people never had to do this before,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
it really takes a little bit of, I don't know what the word is, swallowing your pride or whatever it is.
Do what you got to do.
Doing what you got to do. And I just think that it's a great thing that you're doing. We really do applaud you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And one quick thing, you know, people have been actually coming to us during these food drives and actually asking for food, which has developed in the last few weeks. So the need is really there. It's not going away just because, you know, we're going to go back to normal soon.
Sure.
So
sure.
The need will continue. Anyway,
absolutely.
Thank you so much, Tony and Melissa. Appreciate your support.